By the help of the Lord, we're going to endeavor to talk about prayer. Would you join us in prayer? Almighty God, we thank you for the times that you've blessed us in prayer. We appreciate, Lord, loving us enough to even listen to us. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless us this morning. Bless in this service, Lord. Holy Spirit, we need you. Revival comes from you, Holy Spirit. Without you, there will be no revival. We ask you, Lord, that you'll prepare every heart for a personal revival. Each one of us, Lord, will be blessed in this series of meetings. We ask you, kind Father, that the anointing of God would rest on this message. And you'd help us all to be challenged to pray. Encourage us to pray. Lord, if we don't pray, we're going to faint. As it has been said, good meetings are prayed down. Blessings are prayed down. Lord, this morning, help us all to be able to get a hold of the horns of the altar and get our prayers through to God. We ask you, Savior, these blessings in your name. Amen. Prayer has been a very vital mainstay in my life.
Yes, Lord.
Something I believe in. It's something very important to me. God has given us a tremendous privilege to pray. God is the greatest being there is. He's second to none. If I were to go to Buckingham Palace this morning and endeavor to speak with the Queen of England, I wouldn't get in the gate. They got some guards that stands out there, and I wouldn't even get in the gate. Yeah. Let alone get to see her. Or if I was to go to the White House and attempt to speak to Mr. Clinton, I wouldn't get to first base. But God, the greatest being of all,
amen,
the one who's given breath to Queen Elizabeth and to Mr. Clinton, you can go to him. A tremendous privilege to talk to a being so awesome, so great. Lord, help us never to bring him down to our level.
Amen.
He's high and he's lifted up above.
Yeah.
The God of the universe, creator of heaven and earth. The one who placed all the stars, and there are billions of them. On a starry night, you can look up there and maybe they don't look a whole lot of difference. Their sizes may be pretty equal. Some are larger than others. But God did that. That one that permits me to talk to Him. He put them up there. Billions of them. And above that, He named them. He named them. Every one of them's got a name. You can look up there and they don't look that much difference to you, but God sees a difference in them. And they each have their own name. Every leaf on a tree is different. No two alike. Every thumbprint of a human being, and there's 5 billion people, is different. God did this. The one you can talk to. What a mighty God. Says there's something like, is it 93 million miles between the earth and the sun? Well, if you think in August that the sun feels like it's only a couple hundred feet away, it's still 93 million miles up there. Outer space is so tremendously awesome. God is a great God. And He has given you a tremendous privilege to talk to Him. To tell Him your little troubles. If you lose your car keys, you can tell Him that. If you have a headache, you can tell Him that. If you have a cancer, you can tell Him that. What a privilege it is to take everything to God in prayer. You don't have to worry about waking Him up at 2 o'clock in the morning. He's as alert at 2 a.m. as He is 2 p.m. You don't have to worry about Him taking a coffee break. Going on vacation. Putting you on hold. You can call some people and you or them be talking. You hear this little noise. Excuse me, I got another call. Can I get back with you? You don't have to worry about God doing that. You don't have to be in any certain geographical area, or you don't have to be in any certain physical position. You can be thousands of feet up into the air, going hundreds of miles an hour in a jet, and you can talk to God. In my travelings, different times, when we go someplace, when we went someplace, we would talk to the Lord as we was rolling down the highway. And you know, sometimes my heart would get blessed and I get touched and here come some tears. You don't have to be in a certain place, although the Lord has provided me in Oklahoma with a trailer where I can just go off and be, and I've been in that trailer, and God has blessed my soul. And the tears have just come. Nobody there. Alone with God. The Lord and I. And He touched my heart. This is a wonderful thing. Yeah. On your bed, you can lay down and talk to God. Amen. He's in the air. Yeah. Rolling down the highway. You get in a submarine and go many fathoms down into the water. You can call on him down there. Jonah messed up. Got in a whole lot of trouble. He was told to go preach a message. Instead of going the direction he was supposed to go, he went the opposite way. And he paid to go the opposite way. He got on a ship. You know, people today are paying to go the opposite way from God. And he went down in his ship and he went off to sleep. God sent a big storm. Well, the crew got panic and panic. They decided, we're going to wake this man up. They got Jonah up, and he knew he was guilty. I'm the problem. I'm the problem on this. In this storm is me. He said, toss me overboard. So they tossed him overboard, and the Lord prepared and had a large fish. The timing is so beautiful that the fish was there right when Jonah was tossed over, swallowed him up, stayed in there 3 days, 3 nights. And I can assure you it wasn't like spending a vacation in Hawaii, the Sheraton or the Hilton. I don't think it was as good as the Motel 6. And he was not doing too good down there. The seaweeds was wrapped around his head, and maybe this fish had been eating other fish, and maybe this dead fish flying around his head, and all kinds of whatever was in his digestive system. But God was able to hear that man's prayer down there. You know he prayed? It's in Jonah. What is it? The second chapter of Jonah. First verse. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish belly and said, I cry by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardst my voice. God can hear a penitent soul. He was down there in deep trouble. Maybe he didn't have much hopes of survival. But God caused that old fish to get upset at its stomach. He spoke to him. He's got dominion, hasn't he? Spoke to the fish. Got him over close to the land. And caused him to heave out old Jonah. Do you suppose he hit the ground running? He made haste. Wasn't it a longer journey than what they had? Yeah, he got there in a hurry. He made some time up. But God heard his prayer from that place. Wherever you go geographically, however high you are in an airplane or wherever, if you're in the right attitude and state of mind and heart, God can hear your prayer. A prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. It is such a tremendous privilege to pray. to an awesome being as God. But many people are too busy to pray. Unessential. The not important. Fleeting things of life. And the prayer closet is neglected. Amen?
Amen.
If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. This is true. This includes everybody, ministers, Sunday school teachers, deacons, lay members. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. Leave space for prayer. Take time to be holy. One song says, take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Do you know the world will be rushing on when you're laying out there in your casket? Amen. When you're lying helpless, speechless, and dumb, the world will still be rushing on. But what's going to be important then, have you taken time to be holy? Can you imagine a businessman waking up, realizing I've got an appointment, and I don't have time to pray? So he gets up, hurries into the shower, gets dressed, grabs a piece of toast and his briefcase, and out the door he goes. No time to pray. Speeds out of the driveway. Rips down the road. Rushes onto the freeway. Gets involved in an accident. Lands up on a bed. Yeah. Now he has time to pray. You see? If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. Every day, get out and say, Lord, help me this day. Do you know that the church needs people that can pray? Needs people that can get a hold of God. You don't know where trouble is. You don't know where difficulties lie. You're going to need God sometime in a hurry. Brother Methuen was telling about over in Myrtle, about how he was in New York, and somebody was trying to take advantage of him. He was trying to get over to from Kennedy to LaGuardia, or LaGuardia to Kennedy or somewhere. And a person was demanding, might have been $300. It was a considerable sum of money. He only had 25. Now, that'd be a place to be put in, wouldn't it? What would you do in a case like that? I tell you what he started doing. He started praying out loud. Loud. And this person says, who are you? It was time to pray then, wasn't it? He was in need. $25 and this person wants $300. I don't have it. He called on the God that had power over the person. Loud, God. He didn't say in some little, now I lay me down to sleep, but he prayed. The person said, who are you? You know he didn't have to pay no $300? It pays to pray. You're going to need prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Mary and Martha together, and they had a special guest coming. Can you imagine Martha and her temperament waking up before the alarm went off? Looking out the window when it was still dark, and she got all anxious, and I got to get up. Guests come today. Jesus is coming. And she gets up and she starts pulling out the furniture. Before they had vacuums, and she was sweeping the floor and dusting and tidying up, trying to get it all together before Jesus got there. Well, Mary, she got up and did everything she felt like she had to do. Got it all taken care of before Jesus come. When he got there, she sat down. And she was intrigued with every word that he said. She was just hanging on everything that he was saying. And Martha was in there. She had, let's say she went to the store to get something for the dish she was going to prepare, her special dish for Jesus, her specialty, her no-fail dish. She had been to the store and back and was in there with her apron on, stewing and brewing and trying to get all things together. And she just got so much pressure built up, she had to spill some of it out. And you know what? The Lord didn't sympathize with her one teeny little bit. He would have rather she pull off that apron and come and sit down there by Mary's side. Amen. Don't you worry about Mary. She has chose the good thing here. And it's not going to be taken away. This food that you're preparing, it'll just be satisfaction to us for a while. And he probably didn't want a meal anyway. He would have been able to settle for a piece of fish and a piece of bread. But Martha was too busy, amen, to enjoy Jesus. He's right there in the house with her. She's up sweating and toiling and cumbered about many things. All kinds of things spinning around in her mind. And she wasn't sitting in there with Jesus. She missed out. Many people can miss out on the blessings of the Lord. Sister Jessie May and I was talking she was talking to me just this morning. She'd stopped someplace and there was a lady wanting her to do some crafts. But Sister Jessie's trying to unload some of that to take more important things in hand. Right, Sister Jessie? She was just talking to me this very morning. She's been reading more. And she don't want to get too encumbered with the fleeting things of this life. What will all of it be worth to her in 50 years? It's more important to focus on those things of eternal significance. If you walk in the Spirit, you're going to be a prayerful person. If you walk after the flesh, you're not going to be a prayerful person. Mark it down. If you walk in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost is a praying spirit. Oh, yes, He is. You will be a praying person if you're walking in the Spirit. If you walk after the flesh, you're going to be involved in things that gratify your flesh. Sure. That puff it up. That escalates the flesh. They that sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But they that sow unto the Spirit, life everlasting. Oh, that young people could get a hold of the value of prayer. Daniel, a man who valued prayer very highly. He was in a high government official position also. Very high. But he didn't allow his official business. Amen. To keep him away from that place of prayer. 3 times a day. Amen. Maybe he had a large agenda. But however his agenda run for every day, prayer was inserted in there 3 times. I'm going to pray. Irregardless to what governmental responsibilities I have introduced to me on a day-by-day basis, it's not keeping me away from prayer. He valued it. He valued it to the point that he staked his life. When it come down to either you stop your praying or you go to the den of lions. If somebody would have said, well, Brother Daniel, I think you better use a little wisdom here. Better know praying and be alive than pray and be dead. Yes. Just put your prayer life on hold.
God gave you 5 cents and bill you 1 of his common sense. Yeah.
Well, he valued prayer to the point. Den of lions or no den of lions.
Amen.
My prayer life's not going to go on hold for 30 days. You better not put your prayer on hold today.
Amen.
A day without prayer is a waste of day. A life without prayer is a wasted life.
Amen.
Young people, get a hold of the value of prayer. Well, they was watching him. Is he going to pray or is he not going to pray? We're going to check this one out. Where'd they find him? Same place, same time. Same God looking down. All right, oh boy, you're going to the den of lions. Didn't back him down. He went off over there in there. God beat him there, didn't he? Locked those jaws. Paws and jaws. So somebody might, if they speculated, used one of them for a pillow. I'm not going to say he used one of them for a pillow. But he probably rested better that night than the old king. When the old king hurried over there the next morning, Daniel. Old Daniel didn't think I'll just be quiet and let him think the lions ate me up. He says, old king, live forever. He prayed, and God stood by. He was a praying man, and God himself had it wrote that he had an excellent spirit.
Yes.
Excellent spirit. Prayer helped that, didn't it?
Yes.
When you get all out of sorts, head to your closet. One songwriter said, when storms of life around me beating and rough the path that I have trod, within the closed door retreating, I want to be alone with God. When it got rough for Jesus, when it was in the final stages and near the climaxing point of his ministry, when his soul was so heavy, said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Where did he go? To the garden. Why did he go to the garden? He went to talk to the Father. He went to talk to his Father. Oh, I'm in trouble now. Agonizing. In prayer. Interceding to God. If it would be possible, would you allow the cup just to pass? Jesus was pleading. He was in one of the greatest trials of his life. The cup was before him. He knew what was in the cup. Death. Humiliation was in the cup. He was going to drink it, and it was going to have an effect on him. Drink death. Those people over in Guyana years ago that drank poison. Death was in the cup. Death was in Jesus' cup. And he said, if there's any other way, if the plan of God can be brought forth in its completion without me drinking this cup, would you remove it? His soul was so distressed and in trouble. Oh, it was heavy, heavy. You and I have never reached the depth of heaviness that Jesus had on that occasion. And he agonized until the sweat just poured off of him as drops of blood. Jesus prayed. Oh, if he prayed, what about you and I? What about the need that we have? When you get in trouble, remember Jesus. You school children, remember out there when you're tempted, faced with a temptation, that there is a drawing power that's drawing you. Remember Jesus. Amen. Call on Him. He's your friend. Yeah. Call on Him right in temptation. Oh Lord, sustain me now. Yeah. Don't allow the enemy to succeed in pulling this temptation over on me. Amen. Jesus prayed. Three times. Those, the closest to him on the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, they dozed off. They had a nap. His support. When you get in trouble, do you lack some support? Sister Netta, last week, when it really went through something, and on a Monday, she had been sick from Wednesday through Sunday, and on Monday, we was in the little service there at the home, and she come in and sit down in a chair. She was on her way to work, and they had some car trouble, and she had really been in a battle. Well, God blessed her that day. She's up going now. Prayer is important. Jesus wanted some support. You get in trouble sometimes, do you call some numbers of some saints? Would you agree in prayer with me? Well, Peter, James, and John was the closest to Jesus of any people on earth. And he took them and they went to sleep. But he didn't stop praying, folks. He, if he went over there and seen him, well, what's the use? What's the use? How much are they receptive to you in your hour of need? Here they're asleep, and you're in one of the most difficult times of all your life. Why should you go to the cross and die and drink the cup for some sleepy heads? But he prayed on. If nobody stand behind you, there's a God you can still look to. Amen. If everybody goes to sleep on you and nobody understands you and you don't think anybody cares, there's a God. When Abraham had put Hagar and Ishmael out, his own son, what did he give him? An animal and a jug of water? Send them on their way? Just get out. But God still cared, didn't he? He still cared. They were in real trouble, and his mother put him off over someplace she couldn't bear to see him die. But God intervened. Remember, if you don't think anybody cares, there's a God that does. Pray on. What you say, sister, till the answer comes? Pray on. Pray on till the answer comes. Pray on. Pray on till the answer comes. Praying people have been our spiritual ancestors. The song says, let us go back to our fathers' praying grounds. Too far away, some have strayed. Old brother O.B. Wilson, not brother Ostis in Oklahoma now, but his dad, used to have a praying place down by the railroad tracks. And he messed up his shoes. Went to the shoe man and he wanted to know what he'd been doing. You know what? He thought he deserved a new pair of shoes. Praying people are valuable people. Praying people are valuable people and our spiritual ancestors have been praying people. Have you thought of it? Yes. Esther was going to intercede for her people so they wouldn't be exterminated. And there was a law that you don't go before the king unless he sends for you, even if you're the queen. So she talked to Mordecai and she said, get the people together. Don't have a little social. Oh, she wanted somebody to touch God for her. Amen. Our spiritual ancestors have been people who believed and trusted in God and believed in prayer. Not just Jonah and Esther, but Hannah. You don't even have to verbally speak out your request. The song says, he can hear the heart's faint whisper. Hear the heart's faint whisper. She was so heavily burdened. She wanted to bear a child. And she went to the temple, and her lips was moving, but there was no sound coming out. But God looked beyond the lips anyway. Right on down into the heart, the very inner core of her being, and seen the desire that the woman had. And he answered that prayer. One of you young people, tell me what the answer's name was. Who the answer was. An adult. That was the answer's name. God answers prayer. Elijah. It tells about it in Kings, the 18th chapter. Was involved in a duel. Was it on Mount Carmel? The prophets of Baal against, how many were there of the prophets of Baal? You say 450 against one? Now, how would you say those odds were stacked? Pretty high? 400-1. You got that, Sister Virginia? Would you read it? Well, I'll start at the time of the evening sacrifice there. The 30th verse of the 18th chapter.
Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me, and all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullocks in pieces, and laid him on the wood. And said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God of Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God.
Now let's try to give some background to this story. As a mighty answer to prayer. The prophets of Baal, there was 450 of them, and they had their sacrifice, and they was able to have first chance of getting their God to send fire down from heaven to consume their sacrifice. Understand that? So, they tried one tactic after another in an effort to entreat their God to send fire down from heaven. They called on him. As the day wore on, they become desperate. And they jumped up on the altar themselves, and they started slashing themselves with knives and the blood gushing out in an effort to show their God their sincerity and get Him to send fire down from heaven to consume their sacrifice. Well, Elijah teased them some, didn't he? Maybe your God's gone off on a little trip. Cry out a little louder. But all of what they did, and all their tactics, and all their blood flowing, and knife cutting, and what all they did, not one little spark of fire from heaven fell. The heavens were silent. These people that were spectators looked on in this hot, beating sun. For 3.5 years, there had been no water. The heavens had been sealed off. And so, they finally had frustration, desperation, and then they had to disconceive that their God had failed to answer them from heaven. Does he need prayer, brother? Is he all right? So, as it was, Elijah had his turn. One man. But that was enough, wasn't it? And maybe they had thought, this man has been strange acting and weird and we don't understand him. But he got his chance. He stepped up. And he asked a strange thing. I want you to get barrels of water. Now we know he's really off the wall. This man is, he's lost it now. Wet wood won't burn. This man has really lost it. He's missing something upstairs. Wanting fire to consume a sacrifice, and here he's just wetting down the wood. Who of you gets a fire going, or before you get your fire going in the fireplace, who of you throws water in there first?
Amen.
You don't do that, do you? They're looking at this man pretty strange, maybe. How many barrels did he say bring? 12 altogether. 12 barrels of water thrown on some wood. Strange, wouldn't it be? And you know, stranger still, they were short on water. A water shortage. Did you ever think about that? It had been 3.5 years and not one drop had fell out of heaven. A water shortage. And this man's calling for foolish amounts just being poured. Oh, he's something matter with him. 3.5 years, not one drop of water from the sky. And here he's wanting us to waste barrel after 12 of it, was it? 12 barrels of water?
That's the type of barrel we know about. They hold 55 gallons apiece.
That's quite a bit of water, isn't it? How many gallons would that be? 12.
Big enough so you caught it across the
bottom. And somebody figure out how many days it'd be 3.5 years that they had been without water. Over 1,000 days?
Yes.
And how many gallons of water would it be if it was 55? 660. Now that wood ought to have been pretty wet and saturated, shouldn't it? It should have been. All right, do you get the picture? The sacrifice and the wood's wet. And Elijah steps up and he says a little simple prayer. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Just a little simple prayer. No slashing himself with a knife, no jumping on the altar. A little simple prayer. How many was it? So it'd be 1,200 and... It's a lot of days without a drop of water. Wouldn't that be a sacrifice? To spare all that water when you don't have much? But God honors a sacrifice, doesn't he?
Yes.
Amen. All right. The stage is set now. The prayer has been prayed. Elijah don't have any lighter fluid. Amen. He don't have any matches. He don't have any magic. But he's got the power of God. Prayer. And that little prayer brought what? Read it again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice
and the wood,
and the wood, the wet wood, and the what?
Stone.
The what?
Stone.
Have you ever seen a stone burn up? I haven't either. Who in here has seen a stone burn up? They don't do it, do they? That was a terrific heat, was it not? To burn a stone. You build a fire, get you a place and get you a stone and build a good fire around it and see if it burns it up. It won't do it. But this was a special fire from a special man that prayed a special prayer. And from a special God, the fire fell. And it consumed. Prayer did this. Do you believe in it? Do you believe this happened?
Amen.
It works. It consumed all of it. And what else did it do?
And the dust.
And the dust?
And licked up the water that was in the trench.
All right. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. Raining now. What a mighty God we serve. Believe in prayer. It licked up the water. All those barrels of it. Burned up the stone. Consumed the sacrifice. And you know it wasn't long after that they got some more water. Water was what they needed. And they had to sacrifice the very thing they needed. Amen.
But after they sacrificed it, God sent the rain. It hadn't rained for all those days and years. But after the sacrifice of water, the Lord sent it. Abundance of water. Another marvelous answer to prayer. Elijah went and he prayed. And he sent his servant. Check it out. How many times did he send him? Seven times. No evidence of any rain oncoming. What did he do? Did he give up? I don't think he's going to hear me. Not rain for 3.5 years, and maybe it's going to be that much longer. But he sent him back again, didn't he? Kept on praying. Well, then what happened? A cloud. A little old cloud showed up out there. About the size of a man's hand. Brother Sherman, hold up your hand. Let us see. There you go. Would you think there would be an abundance of rain come from there? But this man was a praying man. And the rain come, folks. But they had to sacrifice first. They sacrificed that water. Oh, sacrifice will bring results, will it not? Well, there's hundreds and hundreds and thousands and millions of prayers that never do get answered. If I regard iniquity in my heart, Psalms 66 and 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, this is the serious side of things. If you have something in your heart today that isn't like Christ, and you just allow it to exist there with no efforts of getting rid of it, you're regarding iniquity. And if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you.